flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We've been taking your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Now we were discussing the Bears' job versus the Patriots' job. Who would you rather be? Ben Johnson with Caleb Williams or Mike Vrabel with Drake May? Now we got into the Patriots coordinator search along with our very famous Boston Pizza Party rankings. I think we saw some things.
Pretty telling.
Who needs a pizza party the most versus who needs one the least? WEEI right smack dab in the middle. Bruins and Celtics at the top. Patriots, I think, are in need of one the least. You can jump in on all that with your phone calls. Again, 617-779-7937. For more on all of, or at least most of this, we're joined by Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, on a Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
I am tremendous. How are you, Adam? How are you, Richard?
Excellent. Tremendous as always.
Tremendous. Tom,
is where we're at. What are you hearing on the coordinator search? Why are we, at least we on the outside, me and Keith, I don't know what you're hearing. Why aren't we hearing much?
I'm not hearing much either. And I think that there is, I think there's a real concrete effort by Mike Vrabel, and I'll leave it at Mike Vrabel, because I think he's really kind of the point of the spear for everything, which is, I think, to the good. He wants to clean things up right now. He wants to have things buttoned down. He does not want leaks. He's not calling Rappaport and Schefter. He's not dropping a ton of nuggets around to local reporters. And I think that that is very intentional. So why are we not hearing much about coordinators? And really, in essence, it's a lot of our speculation, given what we can do with connecting dots. It remains, I think, Josh McDaniels is an offensive coordinator candidate. There are other candidates that we've had mentioned on both sides of the ball, but we're not getting much. And I kind of do think that that's an encouraging tack by Vrabel right now. I just don't think the head coach is always, you know, on the phone or on the text telling people things, but I think that buttoning up around the organization might not be a horrendous idea, even though it hurts us. It really does. It makes it difficult for us to give people the information or indications that we would like to give them, even just to give indications, here's where they might be heading. I think that it's probably productive for them to try and trim it back.
You know, as the year played out and Vrabel wasn't a head coach, I'm sure, first of all, he was a bit surprised that he wasn't a head coach in 2024. But as the year played out and he was looking to line up another job and get back in, do you think he had sort of the ideal coaching staff in mind then? Like, so as soon as he was hired, not that you immediately sign everybody that day, but as he's kind of playing it out in his mind, do you think he had the ideal offensive coordinator for whenever he was going to get his next job all set?
I think, of course.
Yeah.
But like, if you and I were in that position, or even Jones, who could be a little bit haphazard.
If you and I were
in that position,
yeah,
we had a whole friggin' year off, and we had the opportunity to get a $10 million position. We would sit there, and I don't know how much he's being paid. We would say, well, boy, I better have a staff around me. So I can't imagine that he would not have that staff. You know, you can say McDaniels and the Patriots could hire him tomorrow. Does Josh want to be here? Are there other opportunities for him? Does Vrabel look at some of the people who have been involved in the playoffs right now and are coming available, for instance, you know, now that there's more opportunity to interview them and is looking at those guys. Is he interested in Chip Kelly from Ohio State, having been there? I'm intrigued by Chip Kelly, honestly. I look at Chip Kelly. What was that noise?
I said, I don't know. That's Keith. I just said same.
You could hear me nodding. I was nodding, and Keith said same. We both like Chip Kelly as well, yeah.
I do, too. And I think the people, I want the baby face coordinator who barely just started shaving because I don't know how bad. Look, he got 27 touchdowns and two picks out of Nick Foles. I know it didn't go great at San Francisco, but he is an innovative guy, despite the fact that his birth date is in the 60s, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Might be the 50s.
60s.
So to me, I like Chip Kelly. He's a Manchester, New Hampshire native, coached at UNH, has been at Ohio State, knows Mike Vrabel. It intrigues me.
Talking to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every Tuesday on a Tommy Tuesday. Who would you rather be? Just coach quarterback combination. I know you ranked these the other day, so maybe the answer is there. I don't know that we knew the Bears head coach at the time. Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, or Mike Vrabel, Drake May? Who would you rather be?
I would say, who would I rather be or who would I rather have?
Yeah, fine. Who would you rather have? Word it however you want.
I would probably rather be, if I'm a fan, May Vrabel, and it sounds like a homer answer, but I don't know if Ben Johnson is Adam Gase or Kyle Shanahan with Sean McVay. I have no idea what he is. And having Jameson Williams throw a football in the fourth quarter of a game, it's the guy who was humping the sideline after a touchdown just an hour earlier. I'm not sure about his decision-making prowess.
That was a good celebration.
It was a great celebration.
I like that celebration.
May have trusted the wrong guy, though. That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, you can like it, but whatever. I mean, it's okay at a comedy club or at a concert, but I mean, whatever. Anyway, to me, it was a horrible idea. And even Brady had to mutter a little bit about, yeah, I'm not sure if you want to have anybody. And it's funny because I'm sitting there watching the game with my wife. I said, you never have, down 14, you never have anybody other than your quarterback throwing the football in a playoff game. And I thought to myself, except Julian Edelman.
Yeah, you could do that.
No, they were slinging it around against the Ravens. That's true.
But it was a horrible idea. But I would rather have the Vrabel-May combo because I know what Vrabel is as a head coach, and I have no idea what Ben Johnson is.
You know, when you look at Washington.
You guys don't like that answer.
Jones does. I agree with you, Tom. He's a big Ben Johnson guy over there.
Yeah, because you mentioned a guy like Adam Gase, and I look at Adam Gase, and I say, well, that was mostly Peyton Manning. And you look at a guy like McDaniels, and that was mostly Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I mean, for Jared Goff, who I think kind of stinks, Ben Johnson's got three straight top five offenses, one of the best offenses in the history of football this year. So, but you're right. As a head coach, that is a different animal. So we'll see how that goes. Looking at Washington, though, Tom, the Commanders and the Patriots were in a very similar spot a year ago at this time. The Commanders had a complete overhaul. Owner, head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback, bunch of players. Is there any one aspect of that change that you give the most credit to for the turnaround?
I think Daniels and Kingsbury, just a mind meld of what Kingsbury has given Daniels and Daniels using that palette to make incredible art at the quarterback position. For as skinny as he is, and I was stunned the other day, he's 215 pounds allegedly. I don't buy that.
Yeah.
But for him to be as durable as he has been, as poised as he is, as friggin' accurate, I mean, I just keep waiting for horrible throws and misses, and they don't come. He's been brilliant. So I would say that combo right there. But as we talk about Caleb Williams, as we talk about Drake May, as we talk about the coordinators that are going to come in and work with these guys, you can't do the same kind of – who was I talking to the other day? Oh, it was the Eagles. Brian Hoyer texted me about, hey, the Eagles just ran for a touchdown with that play that the Patriots tried to run against the Bills that turned into the backwards lateral sack. And I said, yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing the kind of things you can do dicking around when you actually have protection.
Right.
You can't – these are things the Patriots can't even consider running because it's a free-for-all.
Tom, I'm curious about Robin Glazer, her impending exit from New England. I've listened to you talking about this on NBC Sports Boston, the idea that maybe it's more her choice than it is the organization's choice, that she wasn't happy with some of the commentary about her? Why is she on her way out with the Patriots?
I was told last week that it had not been final and the ball was in her court. If she decided she would be leaving, she would be leaving. So having been told that, that's what I tell the people who listen or watch. She felt as if her role was going to be different coming up with Mayo at the beginning of his tenure last year. She was very visible at the press conference when Mayo was unveiled in a way that we had never, literally, I had never seen or spoken to her in the 17 years prior that she had been there. And she was getting a new title, and she was very excited about that. We saw her as a presence during training camp, and we heard her mentioned frequently as somebody who was involved in interviews. And again, she was not selecting players. She was doing contracts. We had it explained to us she was in a Jack Mueller-type role, he being a contract specialist from Waltham, Massachusetts, former Doug Flutie agent, who worked with the Patriots and was very well-respected. And she also did a lot of the compliance stuff with the league, which is very important. And the Patriots have just hired a guy named John Stryker, also known as Stretch, to work with Vrabel, who will do a lot of that stuff. But as she became more of a pinata for people, and she was visible in the dynasty and had a prominent role in that, and the team stunk, she became somebody to bring up as being indicative of the Patriots' problems. And I think that that wore on her, whether she was a part of them or not. I don't really know. But when we talk about people, you know, Teddy Bruschi making that comment about people need to be put in their place, I don't know if he was specifically speaking about Robin Glazer, but I think that there is a presumption that is accurate or not. I don't know what Teddy knows or doesn't know, but I was immediately said, I wonder if he's talking about Robin Glazer. And then Bill Belichick mentioning Robin Glazer and putting her into the crosshairs. I wonder if she just kind of said, you know what? I really don't need this.
You mentioned Mayo in that answer at first because she was supposed to be working closely with Gerard Mayo. And I'm curious, I don't think we asked you about this, but a couple weeks back, Gerard Mayo's wife on Instagram was just sort of, this was after a couple of stories came out about, you know, Mayo's season, and it obviously wasn't going well, and maybe it seemed like piling on, but she was writing stuff like, it never crossed our minds to tell the truth. I couldn't fathom all the lies we've read that are being told to save face. Whatever happened to class? We've been taking the high road, letting everyone do their thing, blah, 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 blah. And then that kind of fizzled. Unless I've missed it, I feel like that was kind of it. You have any idea what she's referring to?
It seems like the outflow of anecdotal commentary that had Gerard looking like someone who was not in command of the football team.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine that it was. It felt more like it was directed toward the media. I haven't texted or spoken with Mayo. I'm sure, you know, I think a lot of people have had a difficult time getting in touch with him. I'm sure he feels a little bit burned, scorned, humiliated. And the stories and anecdotes that come out following are not probably helping with that. So that's my feeling. It didn't seem as if it was directed within the building, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't either, because there was plenty of, well, if it wasn't for the coaching staff, we knew what we were doing with the coaching staff, and we heard it basically from the personnel people. Heard it with the Elliot Wolf saying it. So, whether or not Gerard Mayo deserved a second year, I do understand the Patriots' mindset on it, but I think that there's a feeling that, hey, this stuff went too far in humiliating him as a person.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I thought it was like the most unnecessary smear campaign of all time, because most people wanted him out. Most people were like, all right, they made the right move, let's move on. And then it's like, oh, by the way, he didn't have control of the room. It's like, yeah, we got that sense. We watched every game. We listened to all the press conferences. But just the way she worded it, I was wondering, like, is there something about Robert and Jonathan Kraft? Is there something about Elliot Wolf that, like, because I don't know if these are lies necessarily, but she's saying, like, well, the fake stories stop before the real ones come out. I'm like, all right, what are the real stories that we're missing? Like, I didn't know if Gerard Mayo was promised that he could burn cash, for example, and then suddenly he couldn't. Or, like, he thought he was going to get different set of players, and then he didn't. But then that all got kind of wiped away. Because Gerard's been very quiet, obviously, since all of this has happened. But this is sort of the one time that we've seen any kind of angle from his camp.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, is there artillery for Gerard Mayo to say, you know what happened with personnel? You know what happened with why we're running these offensive linemen out there? You know, what would have happened if we had started Drake May at the beginning of the year? I mean, all those things could be things that he would like to voice. But, you know, again, the entire season was approached with the craft's blessing in many ways as this is a mulligan year. It's a breakfast ball. Hit it wherever you want, and you're going to be able to hit another one after it. And it didn't work out that way.
Tommy Tuesdays, you're on Jones and Keefe, WEEI.
This was a good call. I had fun.
This is nice. Well, yeah, this is going really nice.
I actually had more for you.
Oh, wow. Not done yet, Tom.
Do you think, Tom, apologies, you thought you were off the hook.
15 minutes. You usually tell me to shut up at 14. I'll keep going.
Do you think the NFL has a problem with the Chiefs? Just the way that they're officiated, the way they seemingly get every call, probably weird to ask about here in New England, where the Patriots seem to get a good whistle for years and years and years. But between the Mahomes flopping and some of the commentary from Troy Aikman and others over the weekend, do you think the NFL has a problem with the Chiefs?
In their treatment and the perception that it's the fix is in?
Correct.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think perception is sometimes reality. And even though that these officials might look at Patrick Mahomes when he's getting hit and see Chiefs 15 white and say, that's one of the greatest players of all time, I'm not going to be the one who doesn't throw a flag when he gets hammered in the head. And they imagine it, same way they might have with Brady, as opposed to, say, a Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen because he gets the Shaq treatment because he's so big. Yeah, I think they have a problem because the perception is reality, and it's not been going on for just this past weekend. It goes on and on and on during the regular season. And you know what? I think it really sucks, and it sucked when Brady did it too. The Brady moaning after hits, which were usually warranted moans, but the Mahomes flopping is terrible. So embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You're too good for that. It's a contact sport, especially the weasel stuff that I hate when quarterbacks take part in, like the late slide. That late slide the other day, there should be a 15-yard unsportsmanlike on any quarterback who doesn't hit his ass well before. You should lose protection if those guys are within one stride of you, one full stride. If you haven't gone down and that guy is less than a stride away, it's on you.
Who do you got winning this weekend? What's your Super Bowl matchup?
I don't know if I'm really interested in watching the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I would much prefer the Commanders to win. I don't know if that's heart or head. Mm-hmm. So I would prefer Commanders-Bills. I mean, the Chiefs aren't fun anymore, which is probably what Patriots were always kind of fun. They always gave you some good entertainment, and this past weekend's game was
That's what we think in New England. I'm not sure the country felt that way, but they played really
good Super Bowls, though, yeah, no matter what. True. Pats were always a good Super Bowl.
The Patriots.
Yeah,
they were. They always were.
Yeah, the Patriots The Patriots gave good bowl. Always gave good bowl. But I think that I would much rather see the Bills there.
Yeah, same.
I mean, do you guys vote on fan bases? Do you root based on fan bases or based on the players?
Well, not always, but Philly really complicated. Like, I'm not going to root for Philly.
Yeah, it's hard to root for Philly, even though I like Saquon and Hurts and A.J. Brown and stuff, but I'm not going to root for Philly. So, yeah, sometimes it overrides it. But, no, Josh Allen is as easy a player to root for as there is in the league.
How could Joe Schoen still be working?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a tough go. That's a tough look.
It is indeed. Well, you got the line moving quite a bit. Commanders plus +6 in that game. Chiefs up to -2 in their matchup with Buffalo.
Feels like a tease.
It does indeed. It does indeed. Tommy Curran every Tuesday at high noon here on Jones and Keefe, a Tommy Tuesday. Check him out tonight on Quick Slants. Check him out on Thursdays on WEEI Afternoons. Now with Hart, Fitzy, and Ted Johnson.
Nice.
That'll be on Thursday. Tom, excellent as always. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. See you soon.
Thank you.
Tommy Curran joining us here on a Tommy Tuesday, WEEI. When it comes to those matchups, those lines have both moved in favor of KC, again, to -2, and in favor of Philly, all the way up to -6. Keep an eye on that line, because if it keeps going, I'm going to jump in. But That's a Super Bowl I'm rooting for sure. I'm rooting for Commanders and Bills. What do I think
Jim
is actually
Kelly versus Mark Rippon?
I was going to say we could relive that.
That was a good one.
That's the first Super Bowl I remember, by the way.
Is it?
I don't remember why.
Yeah, Scott Norwood. Yeah, because we're the same age. I think that one was kind of a blur, too. I specifically remember, like, Art Monk, Ricky Sanders, that Mark Rippon Redskins team.
And I like, really remember, like, Bud Bowl commercials. Like, I remember commercials. That's the first Super Bowl I can remember.
The Cowboys ones.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's the first one I watched. I probably watched one prior. I have no recollection of anything prior.
Oh, there's definitely photos of me watching the Bears destroy the Patriots.
I was
1 or 2 years old.
So, you could relive some of that. That's for sure. When it comes down to the matchups this weekend, I want Commanders Buffalo, but what do I expect to happen?
It's going to be Eagles and Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, that's not what I'm rooting for.
No, it's going to be Chiefs-Eagles.
But if you got a forecast, that's probably what's coming up. WEI's coverage of the football postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. We'll get back into your phone calls. Not a ton to glean there from Tommy Curran when it comes to the coordinator search. He said there's no leaks from Vrabel. That doesn't necessarily mean that McDaniels won't be a slam dunk. We can give you our thoughts, predictions on who the OC will be. We talked earlier about Ben Johnson being hired in Chicago. Would you rather have their coach quarterback combo with Johnson and Caleb Williams or the Patriots with Vrabel and Drake May? We'll get back into all of it. Plus, Kiefer Madness on the way at 12:45. That's right after your Trending with Billy Lanny.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Bruins and Celtics are back in the win column. The Bees entered the third period down 3-2 to the San Jose Sharks. The Bruins went on to score 4 unanswered goals, including 2 empty netters, earning the 6-3 win at the Garden yesterday. The Bees return to the ice tomorrow night in New Jersey to play the Devils. Today, the Bruins placed Mark Kastelic on IR and recalled Patrick Brown and Max Jones from Providence. The Seas crushed the Golden State Warriors 125-85 at the Chase Center yesterday. Celtics road trip continues tomorrow night when the Seas will be in Los Angeles to play the Clippers. Ohio State won their 9th college football national championship after last night's 34-23 win over Notre Dame. And the NFL's conference championship matchups are this Sunday. The Eagles host the Commanders. That game kicks off at 3 o'clock, followed by Bills versus the Chiefs in Kansas City. Kickoff from Arrowhead Stadium is at 6:30. You can hear the call from Westwood One of conference championship Sunday right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM. Coverage will begin at 2 o'clock. Now that it's the new year, I'm sure we all want to take care of those holiday bills. You can have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It's a secure website. It takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
For Ben Johnson, I mean, this was the guy who was clearly the top target for the Bears. Also, as you mentioned, the top target for the Las Vegas Raiders. I know he spoke to both of them. I know he did Zooms with both of them. It's pretty clear he had his choice of which team to pick, and he picked the Bears. And a lot of the reason why the Bears were an attractive selection for him, an attractive team for him, revolve around Caleb Williams. It's much easier to win games, as we saw in the playoffs yesterday and Saturday. Much easier to win games if you have a top-flight quarterback. Clearly, Ben Johnson taking this job in Chicago means he believes that Caleb Williams can be like those other guys, can be like the Patrick Mahomes of the world, the Josh Allens of the world. Certainly, the pedigree is there, and now it is on Ben Johnson to get him there.
That was Ian Rappaport on Ben Johnson getting the Chicago Bears head job. We've been talking about today whether or not you'd rather be the Bears with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. That's how Keith would vote. Or you'd rather be the Patriots with Mike Vrabel and Drake May. I, like Tommy Curran, would rather that combination. But even I acknowledge it's, number one, close, and number two,
yeah,
a year from now, we could be looking at it going, that was the model. It was a second-year quarterback. You give him the guy with the scheme and the guy who can work with a quarterback and rebuild the offense, and next thing you know, Caleb Williams doesn't look lost like he did in year one. He looks like a stud. We could all look at that a year from now and go, that was the model. Keith was right. But right now, I'd take the better quarterback, which I deem Drake May. I have a hard time getting past just the visual of Caleb Williams last year against the Patriots, losing to that defense and that poorly coached team. I have trouble getting past that and siding with Caleb Williams.
So both can work, meaning, you know, you can go defensive coach or non-offensive coach like Washington did, but just make sure you sync it up right with the offensive coordinator. So what Chicago's doing is they're just kind of skipping that step. They went defensive head coach last time. They tried different offensive coordinators and it didn't work. So they didn't want to miss out on that guy. So they're hiring the offensive head coach. So Ben Johnson's going to work with Caleb Williams the way that Cliff Kingsbury is working with Jaden Daniels, the way that TBD is going to work with Drake May.
Yeah.
Right? Because Vrabel even talked about it in his press conference. Like, he'll work with him on situational stuff and, like, you know, just all the knowledge of the opponent and all that. So I think that alone will help. But as far as dialing up all these plays, like, that's not his thing.
Not much to glean from Curran on the OC search, and he told us that. I mean, I don't think
McDaniel's name came up again.
With that. Yeah, he's like, there's not much I'm hearing. Vrabel's tightening up any leaks. I'm curious how comprehensive the search is, but you're right. McDaniel's name came up again. If you had to forecast the coordinators, we know Jeremy Springer is going to be special teams coordinator.
Yeah.
That came out yesterday. You think it's McDaniel's?
Yeah, I'm back to McDaniels versus the field. I'm taking McDaniels. It's the only name that keeps getting brought up. It's also the way they've gone about it. They interviewed for the head coach. They're two minority candidates, then waited, and then it's like, oh, Mike Vrabel, and then a day, and then they hired him. Same thing with the offensive coordinator. The only two candidates we've heard so far have been minority candidates. Now they're waiting a little bit, and then, like the head coach, the obvious answer is going to be the answer. It's what it feels like.
Me too.
Also, shout out to our caller that watches Josh McDaniels come out of his house
and get
the paper.
He called it last week.
You know he's here. He's local.
So I think it's McDaniels. It sounds like it's going to be Terrell Williams as well on the other side, right?
Yeah, it does.
Lions are out. He can now interview. He worked with Vrabel in Tennessee. So if we had to forecast the coordinators, McDaniels, Terrell Williams.
Correct.
Along with our guy Jeremy Springer, friend of the show.
The Spring Dog. That was good. Springer was good. He was one of the few guys at the end of the year that actually handled himself well in those, like, press conferences and, like, in those settings.
Yeah,
like,
hell yeah.
He had a great line where he's like, you know, don't sign up for the military if you don't want to get shot at or something like that.
Yeah.
He's like, I understand what we're getting into in this business. The blowback, the job security, all that stuff. I get it. I understand the drawbacks of the
job. He always had a great attitude every week that we talked to him. And there were, obviously, the team was losing a lot of games.
I think we talked to him more than any other coach because he came on week 18.
True. The other guys kind of bagged out of it
when we were scheduled to talk to somebody else. That's true. Susan's been waiting very patiently on our Boston Pizza Party rankings. Hello, Susan.
How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
I agree with your pizza party rankings except for the first two.
Oh.
I think I have to switch the Celtics to number one because they have way too much to lose. The Bruins have nothing to lose, so they can wait on their pizza party. You need to add the Celtics because if they don't get it together, they can't even win a back-to-back game.
Okay, so she wants the Celtics number one.
And this is what I said. I was of the mind that the Celtics, and part of it is it would benefit them more, and so I put the Celtics number one. They're in more need of a pizza party.
I thought she was going to say EEI is number one. That's what I thought she
said. No, she didn't. She said Celtics, which I said. But then you said Bruins, and then Billy broke the tie. He said Bruins as well.
Yeah, a pizza party might get the Bruins in the playoffs. Where are they really going?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it might get them in the playoffs. The Celtics can win the championship without a pizza party.
Yeah,
they can not get along or have individual agendas, and they can still win. It would help.
Yeah.
And it would go a lot farther if it helped. I stand by the Bruins being number one. I don't like that you're undermining our rankings.
I'm just defending myself, and I'm agreeing with Susan the caller.
Now that we're disagreeing, maybe WEEI has to be higher.
Up one more?
Yeah. Let me introduce more information as well when it comes to WEEI in need of a pizza party.
Yeah.
You came in during the break, Keith. Actually, it was Terp first. Terp came in and said, someone is microwaving fish out there.
Yeah.
And so I go, okay, well, that's gross. I'm very sedentary. I sit here. I don't move around much. Yeah, other than
the
like.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't move around much. I just sit here. I sit here in the breaks. I'm chopping away at the computer.
Like a lonely octopus?
Yeah, I don't move around much. I'm here. I'm not moving, okay?
Yeah, I got
so
you.
I'm like, whatever. I'm in the studio. I don't really care that anybody microwave fish down there, but bad move in the workplace. You came in and said the same thing.
It stinks out there. This is day one stuff. I feel like this is like episode one of The Office gripes. Like, everyone's mad about the, oh, Keith took the drink and all this other stuff. That's nothing compared to what's going on right now in the hallway.
You're saying this is worse than
this
stealing
this is the worst thing you could possibly
do. A Celsius.
Do. Yes. Well, Celsius has come and go. They're $2 to throw.
Well, let me.
This is insane. This is going to stink up the whole bottom floor for the rest of the day, maybe tomorrow. We don't have an open window situation.
Yeah.
There's zero airflow.
Yeah.
And so some maniac went down there and was like, let me fire up the fish.
Okay,
let me cook my haddock in the microwave.
Well, I have a few things to add to this. Number one.
It stings the nostrils.
Number one, I can now smell it in here.
It's gone through the door.
My point about not moving around is that I thought I was insulated.
Yep.
I thought sitting around and doing nothing was going to work out in my favor in this case. No.
No, I popped out there.
I can smell it in right here.
Yeah.
It's in my nostrils, the smell of fish in the microwave.
It's the most egregious of the office malpractice. There's nothing worse than this. Again, I think people...
Somebody in the Twitch chat, was this episode one of Workaholics? Was that... Was this,
honest
was,
to God, probably
was. It
was.
A topic of episode one of Workaholics is when they all got... B-tested, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
We both love that show. That's a great show.
Was somebody microwaving fish on that episode? I don't recall.
Probably.
If it was anyone, it must have been Wayman.
No, it feels like, you know, it probably wouldn't come up on Curb Your Enthusiasm, but yep. It feels like a Curb type of episode.
I believe, Billy, you can speak to this. In the office we used to work in, I think there was a magnet right on the fridge that said, don't microwave your fish or something like that.
Yeah, it said the only fish that are microwavable are Swedish ones.
Yeah. You want to soften those up, even though I think that's a...
It was like, yeah, acceptable ones were Swedish fish, goldfish.
Sounds like a real mess inside the microwave, quite frankly.
No, but like that's one where you can't expect to get away with that. You're going to stink up the entire floor.
Well, we have a new employee today.
Oh, that's right.
So do you...
Oh.
What if that's Ted Johnson's fish?
Well, it's good smelling fish, Ted. Keep up the good work. Got to get that protein in. I get it. I get big dog.
That smells great.
Love that stuff.
What are you loading up on protein there?
That's actually such an aggressive move, you'd have to respect it. If Ted's first day on the job, he heats up. Before the show starts, he's heating up fish. Just walking around eating fish.
90 minutes before the show, he's microwaving. He's in here. He's getting ready. He's meeting everybody, saying hi to everybody, just woofing fish.
It smells so bad out there.
So I went in to get my lunch as it was happening. And as I'm walking down the hall, multiple people are like, oh, what's that smell? What's that smell? So when I get in the kitchen, the person who's doing it goes, oh, that's my fault.
You think?
Oh, right, so no, we know it's not Ted.
No, it's not Ted.
Okay, right. I feel good about that.
This person owes us pizza.
I told this person, I go, this is, you know, it smells terrible. I go, but I respect you admitting it because there was a person here before that used to do it and would deny it.
Oh, really?
So this person did it and was
how
like.
How do you do that?
Huh?
How do you deny being the person microwaving the fish?
Yeah, just eating it. Like, I don't know, I found it.
They tried. Yeah, no, it would be like, you know, my fish doesn't smell that bad.
Yes, it does.
But this person said it was me. I am heating up leftovers. I said, all right.
You can eat the fish cold.
I gave the person credit because they flat out said, my bad.
Yeah, but this is
it still smells horrible.
This is a calculated attack.
I'm so disappointed it's not Ted. That would have been awesome.
This is targeted.
If it came in and it was Ted on day one, you're right, Keith. I have to respect it.
It's premeditated. This, I don't know who this is. So this psychopath woke up this morning.
Is it Ken? Is it Courtney getting back at the show?
Is it Courtney getting back at Rich?
No, but they were like, all right, I need to bring my lunch because I'm going to be a little hungry at work today. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pack fish and then I'm going to heat it up. They thought about this. Uh-huh. They transported the fish here.
Mm-hmm.
They put it in the fridge. They were lucky I didn't eat it. And then they decided to put it in the microwave.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, yeah, there is a little bit of an odor. Of course there is.
So
imagine if you did steal it and microwaved it. We'd have to like excommunicate you.
Wow. Stolen out of the fridge and microwave. No. He's like, well, guys, I don't know how long it's been in there.
No, you're better off having your stuff stolen every single day you come to work than smelling that smell.
What's the move if you have leftover fish that you want to eat the next day? What's the move? You just can't bring it to work?
Eat it cold.
You got to eat it cold.
Yeah.
Could I go upstairs to mix and heat it up?
Sure.
Just not
down here.
Go to another radio
top
station.
Floor.
Use their microwave. Stink that up.
It's not happening. It's not something that you reheat. You don't bring it to work and reheat it. It's really bad out there. I went out there for a second.
It's bad in here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bad in here.
God. And it's not going to go away. That person can eat the fish. Doesn't matter. It's still going to stink to high heaven the whole time.
No, no. It lives in here now.
That fishy fish smell.
Wow.
It's too much.
Okay.
A fish party's not going to solve anything.
I still really wish it was Ted. That's what I wish. And then Keith just...
You wish a wish for fish?
Keith has to deal with yelling at Ted. Now he's got another controversy with the coworker.
Yeah.
So how...
You hang up on me again, I'll cut you like a fish.
We had WEI third in the Boston Pizza Party rankings. We might have to bump it up a spot or two.
Way higher.
This is before we were microwaving fish.
Yeah.
And they apparently also used Kraken feces to attract fish.
Not bad.
That's the
Kraken feces.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Fish. It smells like Kraken feces out there.
I'll be honest, I never have a lot of luck when I've gone fishing. I never use Kraken feces. That could be my issue.
This is bad.
We'll get to your phone calls coming up.
We've still got an hour left.
We also have the Hall of Fame ballot for Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
The official Hall of Famers will be announced tonight, which means myself, Rich Keefe, mm-hmm. Billy Lanny, Nick. Turp, I think we're all put together our ballots,
we have five
I believe.
The five ballots that really matter.
Okay. So
you know me, I like a small hall.
You say that. We'll be getting to our Hall of Fame ballots coming up at 1 o'clock.
Mike Trout, Tim Salmon. What other fish names do we have?
meantime, we'll get to Kiefer Madness at its normally scheduled time, 12:45 on Tuesday. So that's next.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay. Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
Why do you think an alien would wear a wig?
I think for aesthetic reasons.
A Bigfoot murdered three guys on a dope farm.
The maid of honor hit the bottle hard and almost hit the best man with his own car.
Are there guys who kick with both legs?
Here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And I think first time in a while, we go to Canada. America's hat.
An international, well, future part of America.
Yeah. America North.
It's Trump's America now.
That's right.
We're future taking part over. Of America. We want the Maritimes. We want Western Canada.
Yeah.
We want Nunavut all the way up on
all
top. We want the whole thing.
We're taking it all.
An international madness.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
So weather has been a major topic lately. It's so cold out there, Jones. It was like 3 degrees, I think, this morning on the old car.
Chilly out there.
Real cold. We just got a little bit of snow yesterday. So people are always talking about weather, and there might be some new ways to predict the weather.
Okay.
Here's one band, and here's the second band.
It's not your average weather forecast.
All right, so how do you think this gentleman determines or predicts the weather?
AI. AI's hot in the streets now. AI would be a good way
robots.
To do it.
Yeah.
They could take
Canada?
Build they yourself.
Have AI in Canada?
No, I think so. I think so.
It's made its way up there.
I think they created BlackBerry up there. Like, well, yeah.
I saw that movie.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah. It
really?
Was. It was pretty good. Huh. Yeah, Dennis was in it. He's like one of the main guys.
You know what? I knew we talked about
it. It was
before.
Actually
yes,
pretty
yes,
good.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, so
I was never in on the BlackBerry.
They're not tech savvy in Canada, Nick. No. That's very close minded. It's not very woke of you.
How dare you?
Yeah, seriously. How dare
it's
you?
It's where Pam Anderson and Jim Carrey are from.
Okay, I didn't say it wasn't where people were from.
Yeah, you looked down your nose.
Oh,
at it, though,
you never heard of Mario Lemieux? All right, so let's see. Let's find out how this guy's predicting the weather.
This one's going to take a little bit of work to sort out what's going on.
But Jeff Woodward thinks these pig spleens could hold the secret to...
Pig spleens.
Pig spleens. So not AI.
No, going a different direction.
Okay.
He has the spleens of pigs.
Okay.
And he's got them on a table, and he's kind of like spreading them all out, and he's trying to use the patterns of the pig spleens.
To predict the weather.
Yeah. You don't need a spleen to live. I had a guy I played football with in high school. I had to get his spleen removed. He got popped pretty good.
You don't need it?
No, you don't need a spleen. It's like an appendix. You don't need a spleen.
Really?
I think you might be more at risk of certain things.
I'd imagine.
You don't need to have a spleen.
So you don't need an appendix or
tonsils. So these pigs might be fine for all I know.
Wisdom teeth.
Yeah, get rid of all those things.
The pigs are just fine running around there just using the spleen.
It's like, hey, we got no spleens. We're good.
Okay.
They don't need one.
I'm going to need more info on
how my buddy
works.
Got it right out.
No kidding.
No spleen.
Huh.
What's going on?
But Jeff Woodward thinks these pig spleens could hold the secret to what weather is in store.
So just put it on the cardboard and try to spread it out as much as you can.
He takes the spleens and spreads their fat to get an average six-month temperature and precipitation forecast.
Not bad. So you get half a year's worth of rain, snow, sleet, that kind of thing. It is a messy
ordeal. It predicts sleet?
Yeah.
Nice.
Precipitation. It's okay. All under that umbrella.
Good.
No pun intended. And so, yeah, he just takes... And they're showing this guy.
Uh-huh.
He's just very comfortable handling the spleens and just all over the place.
It's
just,
like a scene out of Dexter in there? Is that
yes.
kind of what it looks like? Plastic on the floor. Gloves. Gloves up above his elbow.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, hacksaw. Yeah. Like, it does look a lot like a scene out of Dexter.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
That's good.
But... You want to know in 3 months what the weather's going to be, don't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well,
I would like to know. Yeah.
This guy's got it.
If he's good at it.
He
sure.
is great at it.
Okay.
It's a tradition dating back hundreds of years to his Swedish ancestors who brought it to Canada.
The neighbors would come. They were all sort of old Scandinavian guys. So they'd look at the spleen and they'd sort of do a prediction based on that. And they sort of did it in tongue-in-cheek kind of thing.
It shows a lot of fatty deposits.
So now we're going to go to his, I believe it's his father, who really put this thing on the map, and I do not think is looking at it tongue-in-cheek. I think this guy thinks this is the real deal.
Okay.
On how to get the weather.
It shows a lot of fatty deposits on the back of it, which tells me rain.
Oh, okay. Fatty deposit tells you rain? Okay, God, this is what I need info on how to read it. Yeah.
So you just grab a spleen if you can. You just put it on the desk in front of you. You kind of manipulate it with your hands a little bit. And then if you see a fatty deposit, rain. It could be rain.
When, though?
Well, yeah, that's why you have a pencil. And then you kind of draw it out and you're like, next 6 months.
So even if I could identify the rain, I'd have a problem identifying.
You would.
Yeah.
These guys would not be able to.
All right, good. Good.
But it was his uncle, Gus Wickstrom.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sorry. Not his father. His uncle, Gus Wickstrom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who got to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
He's like the Canadian Al Caprillion, basically.
Yeah. But like Farmer's Almanac style.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was more Farmer's Almanac.
But it was
Almanac.
His uncle, Gus Wickstrom, who gave the practice international attention. His stunning accuracy making him famous.
He predicted a snowfall, and I don't remember the year, a snowfall in June that was sort of really far out, and it actually happened, and that's sort of what I think got a lot of attention 1 year, and he just kept on doing it.
Huh.
June snow, you were like, this guy's a maniac. What is he, messing around with spleens? Nailed it.
It's Canada, though. We're thinking about it in a Boston.
Yeah, yeah, right,
we're
right,
thinking
right.
about it with a Boston brain.
True.
Does it not snow all the time in June in Canada? I feel like it probably does.
Okay, well, either way, he picked it.
Yeah.
He kind of nailed it. The other guys didn't have it.
How impressive is that?
Yeah, you just always say it's going to snow, and then you're bound to have
snow
it.
Snow in Canada in June. That sounds like something that probably happens routinely.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Of course, no accurate forecast would be complete without a quick taste test.
You wrap it around.
So then they show this guy
biting
the uncooked spleens. He now looks like one of the bushwhackers from wrestling. He's holding out this giant spleen. It almost looks like a giant piece of uncooked bacon. And he's he's got it in his mouth.
Okay.
He starts wrapping it around his head.
Yeah.
Like, no joke, just putting it on there. Because he says there's another use for it.
Okay. You wrap it around on your head.
Wickstrom even claimed the spleens could cure baldness.
Well, now.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
If you're bald.
Advertise.
Pick the weather.
Advertise here at WEEI.
Slap it on your head.
Yeah.
Grow hair the next day.
Yeah, wow, nice.
Yeah, yeah. So he had a ton of spleens on his head.
How is his hair looking?
He was bald as hell.
Wait, was he really?
Yeah, he's incredibly bald. Yeah. You know, a little on the sides, but no, he was real bald.
Okay, yeah. But imagine without the spleens, probably nothing on the
probably
sides.
Probably even less.
Yeah, okay.
Good point.
Yeah. Good point.
And spur romance.
And when you eat it after a short spell, it acts like Viagra.
Okay.
Also works down there.
All right.
It's a catch-all.
Well,
Jones, this predicts the weather.
Remember when I said this guy maybe would advertise at WEI?
I definitely
should. Hair and?
One-stop shop. You want to fix down there and up there? Get us pig spleen.
Where was this in the Twitch chat? Patriots NFL1. Maybe we don't want Canada.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
That's what these guys are up to?
Yeah, maybe.
Is it hanging out with pig spleens?
Biden had it right. Canada, you stay in Canada. We don't need you. Not after this.
If this thing could pick some winners for me on game day, that's all I need. If it just gives me some betting tips.
I bet it could. How do you read the spleen?
Look for, not doing it for you.
Look for the fatty deposits.
No, it's not.
Look for the fatty deposits, and you're like, Commanders.
It's going to rain, obviously. And Commanders are getting the points.
Woodward isn't too sure about those qualities. His focus is on carrying out the tradition after his Uncle Gus's death in 2007.
How he died, I'm sure, is another whole entire story.
Yeah.
Those were old clips of him talking about how it's going to grow your hair and also give you an erection, but... The nephew's like, let's just focus on the weather part of it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go down this whole road. I bet, not to go too far afield, I wonder if he made some false promises to people.
Yeah.
And now he's not going to be coming to dinner.
Well, it's, you know, we call it a snake oil salesman here in the States, but in Canada they call it a pig's plane salesman.
You think the Mounties were after him?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as for the forecast?
Relatively snowy first part of the winter. With a cool and long springtime. Okay. That's the general gist of it.
So every year.
Yeah.
Snow in the winter and a cool spring.
Well, pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, he had it.
And he has plenty of piggy prognosticators in waiting.
My son is interested.
Oh, no.
I have a cousin in Saskatoon that's interested.
Oh.
And some other relatives that do have an interest in it.
They're interested in the weather part or those other two things? There's a big difference, my man. We want to double check what these guys are really interested in.
Woodward says some think this form of prediction will only work when pigs fly. But he still enjoys preparing a tender forecast, knowing Uncle Gus is watching closely. Ethan Williams, CBC News, Regina. Oh,
watching from the big pig spleen in the sky.
From where is he?
Oops, hold on. Look.
Where was he again?
I did catch that.
Regina. Regina.
No word on it, but pig spleen will help that.
No. Do the best you can navigating that on your own.
Good job by the CBC News there.
They did. They did a really nice job covering that story, predicting the weather for the next 6 weeks, kind of teasing us with some of the other abilities of the pig spleen.
I don't want to make any promises on any of that other stuff, but wow, good work. Okay.
Regina.
All right, that was a serious news broadcast.
And when you eat it,
how dare you?
After a short spell, it acts like Viagra.
After a short spell. Thank you very much. There you go. Pig spleens.
Okay. Well, that's the madness each and every week here on Jones and Keefe. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Let's get back to serious radio here. Our Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. I've got one. Keefe's got one. And no, we're not. That's not what we're talking about. Billy.
Regina.
Nick Hunter. We'll get you our Hall of Fame ballots coming up next.